Hey there, we are Rob and Joanna Tigan. Welcome back to the Growing Home Together podcast. We've been married for over 30 years and we've parented our five kids through all the ages and stages. We're excited to share our passion for caring for the soul of your family with you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Thank you so much, friends, for joining us for the Growing Home Together podcast. From the time that Rob and I had the first of our five kids, some of our most special moments were snuggling up to read books together. And some of those stories became like familiar old friends as we read them over and over until the kids could probably say the words by heart. It would take more than just this one podcast episode to describe all of the gifts that we found in reading with our kids. The quality time, our children's enjoyment of language and artwork, and just some of the sweet life lessons that were in the content of the stories themselves.
Yes, and that's why we feel such a connection with our guest today, Valerie Ellis, who is an author, speaker, certified teacher, and mom. She knows the power of a story to connect children to their family and to the love of God. We're excited to hear about Valerie's latest children's book and how, through this story, we can help our kids to share the joy of Christmas this year. Thank you, Valerie, for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be with you.
Yeah, well, Valerie, before we learn more about your beautiful new book, Share the Joy, we would love to hear from you why reading with our kids is just so uniquely important in all of the things that we do in our parenting.
Yes, this, of course, is a topic near and dear to my heart. And reading with our kids is such a wonderful opportunity because God made us to learn through stories. So there are a lot of ways to disciple our kids, but stories are connected to our heart and they really help us learn things in a totally different way. And then stories are also wonderful for a story time for bonding with our kids and just communicating affection and security. You know, when we have a regular story time where we open up a book and we turn the page, all of that, you know, even for the youngest kids helps to just ingrain in them that security, like you're in a safe place, you are loved. And so those are just some of the core reasons that I love reading with kids. But then, like you mentioned, so many books carry those wonderful messages. And I find that, you know, I could tell my kids all day long a certain message, but if they read it in a book, it's kind of like hearing it from their teacher, right? It's like, oh, teacher said this, so it's so wonderful, even though mom's been saying that for the past 2 weeks. Exactly. And so stories can have that effect where they just make that impression and really connect with kids. I think we can all remember stories that we have had as kids that still, you know, bring up memories for us or lessons. So
I remember when our kids were little, Joanna would always laugh because generally story time is supposed to be the time where you, you know, kind of quiet them down with the reading. And with in our house, especially when I was at the helm, that wasn't always the case. It ended up being more of a fun, playful, loud time. So can you share some tips on how to make reading an interactive experience with our kids?
Definitely. You know, we talked about those messages that are in books, but, you know, research shows that actually kids don't pick up on those without some interaction from the parent or the teacher, not because they're not smart. I mean, they're brilliant, but kids are enjoying the story for face value. And so that's why it's so wonderful to have fun stories that are just great reads and help with those bonding moments and making it playful. But then when you want to interact with them and, like you were saying, make it more of a learning time or a playful time, there are a couple of things you can do. So, of course, pointing out the pictures and talking with them about what they see for the little ones or what they remember. You know, if something in the story brings up a memory for you, you could help recall that with them. And then you could also ask them what they think about the book, what they think is going to happen next, how they think the character feels. So there are a lot of ways to get more out of the story. And when I was reading with my oldest, who's now 12, I actually wasn't really great at this. So I would pick these wonderful rhyming books, and he loved rhyming books. And the rhymes were so beautiful, they just like led me story, the end, close the book. And we didn't really do that. We didn't really talk about the story or stop and point at pictures. But I've found, you know, with my younger one, that when I learned a little bit more about reading with kids and we did that, we did get a lot more out of it. And then I'd like to know some of the things you did to make it playful, because I'm sure that your house was a really fun place at reading time. But, you know, after the story, you can always act it out or just talk about their favorite parts. And then with older kids, one thing I like to ask is, not with every book, but we use books in our home that are definitely Christian, but we also use some that are just for the general market. But sometimes those lessons, you know, still point to God. So sometimes I'll ask them, you know, where did you see God in this book? And that's a way that we can kind of open-endedly, and sometimes they might just look at you like, what are you talking about? And you could share, or maybe you're like, well, I don't know either, but it's a really good question we could keep asking ourselves. So those are just a couple of ways, but yeah, I'd love to know what was playful reading time at y'all's house.
Right. Well, I think especially with those books that you do read over and over, that the kids start to remember what's coming. It's fun to, even when they're pre-readers, to allow them to help you read it. So we used to pick a word, like if, whether it's the name of the character, if there's a certain sound effect that keeps coming up in the story. And whenever we get to that word, we would pause and then the kids would get to shout out whatever that word was and feel like they were reading too. And I think for me, I love children's books so much just for the visual beauty of them so many times. And so even apart from the text on the page, just kind of inviting our kids to be observant of what is the artwork saying? It's saying a lot. What do they say? A picture is a thousand words. So yeah, slowing way down and just kind of picking out details or picking up maybe the pictorial meaning of something so that it's kind of a whole, more of a sensory experience, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember you mentioned acting it out. That was something that the kids and I would have fun doing. So I don't know who's the author. We've got so many of those board books with the barnyard dance.
Oh, the Sandra Boynton.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. Is there anything?
I mean, I've got hoedown music that we did for that. and we had a Curious George Lift the Flap book that I know we would read on the bed, but the kids would actually not ever, because he was curious and he was always getting in trouble, right? So they were always, we were jumping on the bed, and I mean, it was that was the craziest book. I think we had too many monkeys falling off the bed on that one. So
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. So we, speaking of Sandra Boynton, Rob's pulled those out now with our grandson, and it is like a hoedown around here every time. It's pretty great.
I love that. And you know, when I was talking at the beginning about helping kids feel security in reading time and turning those pages, I mean, that's just one way to read. And so, you know, if you have a child that is rambunctious, you know, go with it. We feel very passionately about being a student of our kids, you know, so learning like what works with them. And I mentioned that my older son loved rhyming books. He always loved a certain genre of books. He wasn't picky about many things, but he was picky about books, whereas my younger one would just, you know, go with it, but he would be a little more active. And so I would just have to remind myself, you know, this is a value for our family. This is not the only reading time we're ever going to do. So if things are not working out, you know, it's okay. We'll come back to it another time. We could make this more of a playtime, more of a jumping on the bedtime or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I do think mixing up the environment can be helpful. I'm definitely a curl up on the corner of the couch with a cozy blanket and my coffee to read. That's me. But we have kids who would way rather just lay on our tummies on the floor, you know, or read even in the car, you know, where there's some other activity going on around us. So yeah, I love your perspective of being a student of our kids. And I think that's something now with our grandson that Rob and I are going to have to start doing. I mean, he's definitely interested in reading books together. And I know at home with his mommy and daddy, they do that all the time. But, you know, his attention span is pretty short and not every book captures his interest. And we were hoping you could give us some tips to make reading a good experience, especially for that toddler age. Do you have any ideas for us?
Yes. Well, I think we've hit on a lot of the things, and learning what kids like is a big part of that. That's actually what propelled me to want to write children's books was because my older one, when he was two or three, was just so opinionated about books. And yet I, you know, had these books that I wanted him to read about the Lord and things like that. And so just finding out, you know, what works for them, but then also picking playful books, you know, like the Lift the Flap books or the Sandra Boynton that have, you know, dances or songs that go along with them can really help. You know, at the beginning, not every child may love books, but when you attach it to those things that they do love, like a cozy spot or sitting on the bed with mom and dad or putting on music or whatever it might be, then they create that connection between reading and all of these wonderful feelings. And then that can make it easier down the line. And then, you know, like I said, I would just be flexible. Not everything is going to look like a Hallmark moment, you know, when at reading time. And so just, you know, give yourself grace and just try to remember that, you know, this is a habit we're building. It doesn't always have to be perfect. And then, you know, finding interactive ways. Like I love what you said about letting them fill in the blank, letting them point to things, and then, you know, using voices is something my husband is really good at, different voices for the characters. And then also just your reaction to the book. So you could model for them, like surprise at a certain part or, you know, excitement about something or expectation. Like, I wonder what's going to happen on the next page. I think it might be this. And, you know, just get them engage that way. So kind of modeling.
Oh, that's super. That is really helpful. Yeah. I guess I hadn't really thought about how my reaction to a story can help spark a reaction in him. That's a really great idea. You know, one thing I love about stories is, like you were saying, it can take this really big or complicated idea and package it in a way that even a young child can understand. And it was making me think about how Jesus taught in parable stories to communicate these big concepts of the kingdom of God to people who maybe hadn't heard it before. So in your book, Share the Joy, what is that big message that it holds for little ones?
Well, because we've been talking about playful books, I want to start out by saying that this book, I think, is fun apart from the message. And so, you know, if you are someone who is just starting to center your Christmas on Jesus, or, you know, maybe not looking for a big message, maybe your child's not super interested in books and you're one of those people that we've been, you know, giving tips to, then you can grab this book and just have fun with it. But because of my personality, of course, there is a deeper message. I always have, you know, just a drive to bring more to the book. And so the message of this book is to help kids find the joy in loving and serving others at Christmas and to have those holiday traditions that we love so much grow to include others and also be centered around Jesus.
That's great. Yeah, I think, you know, for parents, we always feel that tension during the holidays, right? To keep it centered on Jesus, but then also bring in the other traditions and the fun. And, you know, if there's any time that our children get the give-me's and the focused on, you know, it's so easy to get off center of what the season is about. So how does your book show kids what it means to be other-centered and generous in ways that they can relate to?
Yes. So for example, so this book is all about surprises before I get into the example. So the Lift the Flap, the first picture you see is a tradition that might seem familiar to kids. I know we all have different traditions, but I tried to pick some that seem familiar, like family dinner, decorating the tree, even getting Christmas shopping done, even though this book is not about getting things, like you said. Using those familiar things as springboards to then talk about sharing with others. So, for example, there's a page where you think that a child might be going to a toy store with some money in his hand, and then you lift the flap and you see that there's a donation bucket and he's excitedly going to put the money in and share. And so the rhyming text goes with the story. And then there's a lot to look at on each page and point to with kids. And so by using those traditions, what I'm hoping is that kids will start to connect all these warm feelings about sharing and giving the same way they love hot chocolate by the fire or decorating the tree with family, that these things are interwoven so that they become a really positive experience for kids.
Oh, I love that. That's really good. Yeah, I know we're pretty excited around here because in a few months, our grandson's going to have, he's going to be a big brother. So, you know, and for him, that's going to involve a lot of change with a lot more sharing of his parents and his toys and his grandpa. And and I think, you know, at any age, it's so hard to share for kids to know how to share. And what I love in your book is you created the idea of share the joy jar. So little kids can practice generosity and cultivate that spirit of giving. Can you share with us how we can create a share the joy jar?
Yes. So the publisher and I work together to come up with an activity pack, or sometimes we call it a teacher's guide or parent guide, to go along with the book that when people order, they can go to sharethejoybook.com and enter in their information and download these resources. So the Share the Joy Jar is part of that. And it has 24 ideas for everything from just showing love to someone in your household to serving in the community. So we tried to make it very inclusive of a lot of different ways to share the joy. And so the idea is that parents or caregivers can print it out and cut them apart and choose the ones that are doable for their family. Not every single idea on the page is going to be doable, and put them in a jar and then have the kids participate in drawing them out and talking about how to accomplish them. And then if they're very small, you know, of course that can be a lot of that planning can be on the parents where it's like, we drew it out and look, you know, our experience is all ready to do or whatever. So that it's not, you know, they won't have that executive functioning to help plan. But for the older kids, it's great for them to be a part of that. And so with each different activity or with each different draw, you can choose how to do it. So for example, you can like choose twice a week leading up to Advent, or maybe the 12 days of Christmas. So starting on Christmas Day and going through Epiphany. Or, you know, it could be something that you start now because there's no need to say we need to wait till Christmas. And sometimes as the Christmas season gets busy, that's when things fall off. But if we've been doing that prep work to start now, then we can, you know, just get kids more excited about sharing. And it could be something that you continue, you know, throughout the year. This is something that's important to me for kids to learn at Christmas about sharing, because like you said, it can be the time where it's tends to get really me focused and really busy. And so, yeah, this is the holiday where we celebrate the greatest servant of all. So we definitely don't want to lose that. And so we want to make it a fun way for kids to share.
Right. I know one of the cards that caught my eye was one where you create opportunity to show kindness to people who are in housing crisis. And that hit close to home because our kids are young adults now, but they were asking me even yesterday if we were still going to put together some giveaway bags for the homeless in our community. When they were really little, we would take big Ziploc bags and we would fill them up with snacks and toothbrushes and socks and water bottles and whatever we could think of so that we could hand them out when we were driving around town and we saw someone in distress. And that made such an impression even when they were small. And it just shows, though, how these acts of giving that can seem so kind of short and minor, when our kids are small, they can bear lifetime fruit. And I was just hoping that you could share a specific way that maybe you've practiced generosity with your kids at your house.
Yes, we actually do that similar activity as well. And it is something that has made an impression on them, has opened up a lot of different opportunities to talk about, you know, just different things in the world and how we can make a difference. And so I love that. And it's interesting that you brought that up about the deep impression is left on them, because I've been reading and listening to Dr. Milton Uecker, who does a lot with children's ministry and parenting and helping parents, leave that impression of faith on their kids. And he talks about firsthand experiences and how foundational they are. It's kind of like not just having the beliefs, but having your muscles working, you know, so that it's in your muscles. And so I love that your kids have come back to that. And also, if you think about, like, hopefully this will never happen to any of us listening, but kids who start walking away from the faith, you know, God is still working in them. And these impressions that we root them in when they're younger can come flooding back. And that's one thing that Dr. Uecker talks about too, is, you know, that these firsthand experiences can come flooding back. And so when we do that around Christmas is something that, you know, whether or not kids stay in the church, they're going to encounter every year in our culture, even if our culture doesn't necessarily celebrate the way we do, the symbols and all of that are around. And so I just love doing these service activities at Christmas, because it can really help kids, first of all, start to own their faith a little bit. So they're doing an action, but then have those memories and have that rootedness. So, but back to your question about what else we do. Yeah. So we'll sometimes also do things for people in the community, you know, whether it might be someone who's going through a hard time that we know, or maybe a first responder. So our church just made bags for the first responders and had them, you know, the kids go out and deliver them, just as a reminder of, you know, all the people in the community that are helping, and just to be a light to them and say, you know, we see what you're doing and we, you know, we appreciate everything you do, and just kind of shine God's love in that way.
Oh, that's really good. And another part of the book that I thought was precious was the way that you kind of model loving your literal neighbor, and how for kids that can be significant. And for us, it's been a really sweet year. We're 1 year into living in our neighborhood, and we got to be on the receiving end of some generosities from our neighbors across the street, who gave us such a warm welcome, and they brought over a plate of treats. And you think, well, it's just a plate of treats, but that broke down barriers to where now they're the neighbors who have our extra house key, and they're the neighbors we call, you know, if we need to borrow that cup of sugar, and they've called us like, hey, could you please pick up our son at school? We're kind of in a bind. And they've become real friends that where we can count on one another. And it all started with a plate of cookies. And our son is watching this relationship grow, and just how sweet it is for him to know, hey, there's somebody across the street, where if mom and dad were at a meeting and I really needed something, there's someone there for me. So I think it's never just a plate of cookies. Yes. But I like the way that your book kind of plants that seed for kids in the story.
Yes. And I think that's great too, to be on the receiving end and let kids see that, because then they have a frame of reference when they're doing an act of kindness, you know, how that could feel to the person, or how that could, like you said, blossom into this wonderful relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked how you pointed out, Valerie, that, you know, just these simple little things that we do with our kids, it really is putting our faith in action. And so as our kids do get older, you know, they can, as Joanna was saying too, kind of recall some of those things that were impactful, where they're at on their faith journey. They can have tangible ways that they can see that, which it wasn't just words, you know, there was more to it than that. And so, you know, I think before we know it, Christmas is going to come and go. And so as we move, you know, towards the new year, what are some ways we can keep faith conversations going with our children? I mean, they, like you said, they can make the share the joy jar, you know, kind of a seasonal tradition, or they can continue that kind of thing too. But are there other ways that we can keep those faith conversations going?
Definitely. And I think it is so important to bring those faith conversations out of just holidays and church times. And so one thing you could do as a springboard is as you are doing the Share the Joy Jar activities, or anytime, you know, you're serving in the community or just saying a kind word, praying for an ambulance driving by, you could ask kids, you know, how did that activity make you feel? What were you thinking about? You know, and remind them that when we go out of our way to do things for others, it brings us a different kind of joy than when we're just receiving. And so that's another thing, just going back to the book, that I hope that kids get out of it, is seeing how joy grows when we give away, when we make things bigger, and how, you know, sometimes you're talking about the rest of the year. Sometimes after Christmas, we can kind of feel that little letdown, the post-holiday blues or whatever. And so thinking about like how we've helped during that season and then taking that out is a great way to remind kids like where true joy comes from. And then, you know, at our Everyday Parables, we look at everyday moments as a really big opportunity to start conversations with kids. And so we've got different conversation starters that could be around nature or summer. We try to do it with the seasons and different, just looking for ways that you see God showing up. So I think this starts with us as the caregiver, you know, to say, where is God in my day today? And not all of those are going to relate to kids, but just for us to get in the habit of where are we seeing God? You know, one example that I use during the summer sometimes is to, you know, I live in Houston. It's really, really hot. And we just came through a very, very hot summer. And, you know, just talking about the way we find relief with a cool drink of water or shade. And then saying, you know, God gives us relief like that. You know, our world is not always the way we want it to be. I don't want the temperature to be this way, and our world is not always that way. But when I drink this cool glass of water, or when I find this spot of shade, it reminds me, you know, that God gives me that relief, and I can go to Him every day to just fuel up, remember His love, remember, you know, His kingdom and how wonderful, you know, He's designed the plans for our lives, and just ask Him, God, how can I join with You today, you know, in that plan? Or how can I receive Your love to fuel me up? So things like that, that are just everyday moments. And then this is a part I sometimes forget because I like to talk, as you may have noticed, is asking the child. So involving them in that conversation, and just like exercising their muscles with the service, you know, they're exercising their muscles and they might not always have a response, and that's fine. But, you know, involving them in like, have you ever had a time where you felt just really drained, you know, maybe, or have you ever had a time where you've felt God's love? Where have you seen God this week? And so just using those everyday moments really, I think, communicates to kids, like we were saying earlier, this is more than just having the right beliefs and, you know, celebrating at the holidays or on Sundays, but this is, you know, God is part of our lives and the best part of our lives, something that we can enjoy every day.
Oh, definitely. And I know for me, I'm just so grateful I don't have to figure that all out by myself, because Jesus promised that we would have the Holy Spirit to kind of counsel us and teach us and mark the way and even create opportunities for us to talk to our kids. So I'm just grateful that He's in it with us. And I know the heart of so many moms and dads listening today is to see their kids come to know Jesus and put their trust in Him too. And we can sometimes feel a little discouraged or a little lost about how to teach them about the truths of God. So before we close today, would you be willing to pray for all of us that this Christmas in particular, God would just reveal Himself in a special way to our kids?
Absolutely. Loving God, I thank You for the parents, grandparents, and caregivers who want to shepherd the little ones in their lives toward You. As we approach the holidays, I pray that You would give us grace and guidance. And I thank You for the Holy Spirit. Help us not to grow burdened or weary, but to feel fueled by You to shine Your light. Help us to engage with our kids and make an impression upon their hearts for You. Lord, I just pray that You would free us to worship You as we go into this season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before we close today, Valerie, is there any last thoughts or words of encouragement you'd like to leave for us?
You know, I feel like what you said, Joanna, right before we prayed is something that's always on my mind when I talk to parents is that, you know, we have these desires and sometimes it for our kids to know the Lord. And sometimes we can feel discouraged or burdened. And so one thing that was a light bulb moment for me as I was coming out of the toddler years and more into school age and as my kids continue to grow is how much of a journey this is and how, you know, when my kids were younger, I just felt like every moment, you know, I just felt the weight of every moment. Like I needed to make everything just go perfectly. And now that I see the full, you know, not full because my kids are 12 and 9. So they're still growing, but I see so much more of the journey that we've been through and how, you know, we still have time. And so there's nothing that's too late. If you didn't read with your kids when they were little and now they're older, you know, we're still on this journey and God is with us and we can go to Him for guidance. So, you know, specifically with Christmas in mind, I would say, you know, if there's one small thing you could do toward serving someone, it doesn't have to be a whole jar. Just one small thing you could do. And maybe it feels overwhelming to involve your kids. Something small you could do on your own and just ask God to grow that seed and He will be faithful.
Oh, I love that. That is truly encouraging to us. And I just feel so blessed to have a copy of your book, Share the Joy, to read with our grandbabies this year. Where can everybody go to get a copy for their family and also to connect with you online? Because you have so many amazing resources to share.
Yes, I would love to connect with your audience and just have more of a community. You know, we all need to encourage each other. So that would be wonderful. So as far as the book, the easiest way would probably just go to sharethejoybook.com. It's not sharethejoy.com, it's sharethejoybook. And there are links there that you can pre-order, or I guess the book will be out by the time we by the time you post this. So there are books, there are links there where you can order the book and then get the free resources all on that page. And you can hear a little bit more background about the book and see speaking events and things like that that I'm doing. And then we also have the multi-author online resource, Our Everyday Parables, where you can sign up for our email list and get some free resources that way. We have Christmas activities and then also just a year-round kind of book recommendation. I'll send you the link so that you can put it in the show notes, which has books for kids 0 to 12 and places to write your own. So as you become a student of your kiddos, you can add ideas there. And so all of that's available at Our Everyday Parables. And then I'm active on Instagram. And also, I have a website about my speaking that's valerieellis.com. But probably the best ways would be the email list, and you'll be the first to get all of our stuff. Or Instagram is a really fun place we can kind of have more of a conversation.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for spending this time with us and sharing about your book and just the great ways to connect with our kids through reading today. We really appreciate you being with us, Valerie.
Well, you two have been such a gift to our family as you have given your own resources and your own wisdom. So thank you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And Merry Christmas too, to you and your family.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And we'll hopefully talk to you again after the new year as well. So
sounds great.
And thank you, friends, for joining us today. We would love to connect with you as well over on our website, growinghometogether.com. You'll find all kinds of resources to help you pray as a couple, pray for your kids, plus conversation starters and books for kids, which are perfect stocking stuffers for you. At Growing Home Together, we are caring for the soul of your family.
And we're growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Growing Home Together podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and found some valuable insights to help you care for the soul of your family. Remember to check out growinghometogether.com for more resources and stay tuned for our next episode coming your way soon.